Lisa Show. We are here to coach you to your success, to coach you to your purpose, your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each week, Monday through Friday morning, for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website, www.lalisajwilliams.com, or for a free coaching session just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/Lalisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, and welcome to the show today. Wow, I tell you, another day, another opportunity to get it right. That's what I always say, another opportunity to get it right. Well, we are certainly happy and blessed and thankful that you decided to tune in to the show. Today, we're going to be talking today about sales secrets. And guess what? It is or it is not a secret. It all depends on how you see it, how you look at it. So wonderful. Today is Thursday. We're just coming off of that powerful Wednesday show that we had yesterday with the awesome and powerful and dynamic, motivating and inspiring Mr. Versi Walker. Wow, I mean, so many wonderful topics that he brings each and every week. So we definitely want to keep him celebrated and pumped up because we don't want him to get tired of bringing it to the show. Awesome and wonderful. Well, we welcome each and every one of you to the show, to our friends in Maryland and California, Philadelphia, Miss Gloria out there in California. She may be asleep right now, but I know you'll be up a little bit later and you'll listen to the archives. Welcome, Mr. Paul, all the way from Japan. Good morning again to you this morning. And thank you for tuning in. And to the, so many of you that tune into the show, we could spend the whole hour just calling out names. Well, before we get into this topic this morning, selling secrets to selling. I mean, how many of you would just love to get more customers, get them faster, and absolutely keep them longer? Well, any entrepreneur would want to know that, and any person that is in business for themselves, or even if you work for another company. Now, somebody once asked the question, are you climbing the ladder of success? And if so, which way are you headed? And the hint to the answer to that was, the secret to climbing up is to put your heart into it. The secret to climbing up is to put your heart into your work. Put your heart into your work. Now, that's going to be your first, that's the first secret I'm going to release here on the show today about selling. And some of you who are in sales, you've been in sales for a long time, you can probably attest to this as well. And it'll confirm for you. When it comes to selling, regardless of whether you're selling products out of the backseat of your car or whether you're with a multinational company, either way, you need to have your heart in it. See, without your heart being there, without your real passion being there, it's going to be very, very hard to persuade other people to buy what you're selling. Okay, so that's just one of the things that we want to mention. And good morning, and welcome also to you, Miss Kiva. Welcome to you on the switchboard, I believe. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that could be Mr. Walker also joining us on the show so far today. And yes, Mr. Paul is also confirming a great show yesterday. And so he said you were really, really hot and flying. I like those phrases. You were hot and flying, Mr. Virgil Walker. And wonderful, wonderful. Okay, now don't forget, tomorrow is Friday. If you got a business, you want to shout it out, because you never know who may tune into the Coach Talisa show and hear. Also, we try to do the show in a nice little format so that when we're ready to syndicate and put this show to air it just as it is, other places will have a nice format that we can send to other stations around the country for the Coach Talisa show in the morning. So get ready for that, get ready for that, because that's where we are looking to go with this show. Now, here's something that I've learned, and I've been studying how to sell for a while now, outside of being married to a sales guru, which I have to deal with sales pretty much every day. My husband, who I've been married to for 20 years, and we've been together for 23 years, my husband's been in sales all for as long as I've been with him, so for 23 years, but he was in sales about 7 years before I met him. So altogether for about 30 years, my husband's been selling. And so I've asked him questions over the years, and he's been selling a very high-end type of product because he sells steel for an international, multinational, I should say, steel company. But it is a foreign company, but he used to sell for an American company. So he's been selling steel for years to very, very, very large businesses, and he sells steel all around the world. But he's also worked in a local retail store that sold appliances, like all the appliances you would have in your home, washers and dryers and stereos and refrigerators, air conditioners, and all those kinds of things. And for about 2 years, he worked in the stereo department. So he sold, you know, the CD players and all the things you would listen to, your music and DVDs, and he did quite well. He was like the top salesperson every single quarter. So I've gotten a lot of information hands-on right from him, but he couldn't be here this morning to share some of this. So some of what I'm going to be sharing about secrets to selling, I've gotten from him. Also, I've taken a couple of courses in sales, so I've learned some things there. And then I had a sister who, for several years, she sold tickets for American Airlines. She was a sales agent for American Airlines. And then I've done some retail selling. I did retail selling with Dressbarn, which some of you may have heard of Dressbarn. It's a clothing store for women. And when I was with them, they had about 800 stores throughout the United States. I'm not sure what their record is today, but this was going back about 12 years ago. And so I worked for them for a while. Now, here's the thing. When it comes to, and then I have my own business where I have to sell. Okay, and then all of us have heard of the term how to sell yourself. So I'm just letting you know about my experiences with sales and selling, and I also teach business class where we talk a little bit about sales, but not a whole lot. But we do talk about marketing. Now, selling, but then what happened was, once I became an author, well, I had to sell my books because I also became author-publisher, whereas some people, they write, and someone else does the selling. But for me, I have to do both. And then also, we sell, I would have my own, you would call it a multi-level marketing business, also where you have to sell. So I became very, very interested in selling. And I want to share with you some secrets to selling so that you can apply them to your business so that you can be a success. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people say they don't like to sell. You know, a lot of people, this is like one of the top things they don't like to do outside of speaking in public, okay? A lot of people, if you ask them, you know, the things that they really, really are afraid to do, and you would wonder, is it selling or is it speaking in public? Because a lot of people, they don't like either of those. So we want to help you, though. If you're in business, you need to know. And so here's what they've discovered, is that people don't like to be sold, but they love to buy. And you probably would agree with that. So people, they don't like to be sold, but they love to buy. Isn't that true? I mean, the average person works hard. I'm talking about 40 hours a week, 50 hours a week, 70 hours a week, sometimes longer. For what? So that they can go and spend their money. They can go buy something. Or some people give their money away to others who go and buy. So maybe they give their money to their spouse, maybe their children, maybe other family members or friends, so that they could do what? Go and buy. Buy, meaning the B-U-Y word. But yet, when you approach people to try to tell them something, oftentimes you may experience what? Well, you may experience rejection. You see, you may experience people who they're not so quick to want what you have. What is behind all of this? So there's a man by the name of Jeffrey Gitomer. Maybe you've heard of him. He is really into sales, and he studied this for years, and he actually wrote a book. Some of you may have heard of the book. Some of you may have the book. But it's called The Little Red Book of Selling. And he has 12.5 principles of sales greatness. And he really, I tell you, he did a great job in this book. And this is where I'm taking a lot of the material from that I'm going to be sharing with you today about secrets to sales. Now, today the show, I want to let you know ahead of time, the show today, we're going to end a little bit early today because I have a very important training meeting that I have to attend, and in order to get there, I have to leave by a certain time. So just wanted to prep you for that. So we're going to end the show today about probably about 7:45, okay? So for some of you, that means you can get off and go do a few more things a little bit earlier. Also, I have a radio interview in New York City on November the 5th, that's a Friday. And the interview is at 7 o'clock in the morning. So somebody else just like me who's up early with a radio show. But that's in New York, so I'm not going to be able to do the show on that morning and unless I can get someone to stand in and co-host the show for me. But we'll see how that works out. But I want to let you know ahead of time so that you can prepare your day. So that's all. That's a Friday, and it's the Friday before the big event at Rutgers University, which is why I'm going to New York for the interview, to be interviewed about that speaking opportunity at Rutgers University. So I want to let you know ahead of time of what's going on. Other than that, I would definitely be here for the show. Now, so we're very, very excited about Rutgers University. We can't wait. Also, now, Jeffrey, as I'm going to refer to him, Jeffrey Gitomer, he is awesome. he says that people, they love to buy, love to spend their money. They work very hard for it, but they don't like to be sold. So how can we reach them? If you're a business owner, you want to know, well, how can I reach the customer? If people don't want to be sold, but yet they want to buy, how do I get more customers faster? And how do I keep them longer? Now, this is Jeffrey's big aha, and I'm going to share it with you. You know, it's your lucky day you tuned into the Culture Elisa Show, because if you're in sales and you did not know this information, you are going to be glad you tuned into the show today, especially if you have any product or service that you're trying to sell and you notice that your sales are down. If you, you know, a person might say, well, how do I know that my sales isn't already, I'm not at the top of my game, so to speak. How do I know? Well, answer these questions. Here's some proof that maybe you need help in this area. Number one, you get a lot of price objections. Like people, they object to your price that you're selling your product for. Number two, you send out a lot of bids or proposals, but not getting a whole lot of responses back. The person, customer, they claim to be satisfied with their present supplier, so whoever else is doing business that they're doing business with. No one returns our call. If no one's returning your call, well, that might be an indication that, you know, you've not reached your maximum goals for your selling. Or you're complaining that the economy is slow. People do that all the time. When they're not getting the sales that they want, the economy is slow. Oh, it's a recession. However, somebody is getting the sale. Because guess what we know about people now? We know that people love to buy. I'm telling you, on any given day, go to the mall, go to businesses, and you will find people buying. And look at the amount of people that work. Now, here's another way you can look at it. Go to the banks and see how much people are saving. People spend way more, especially in the United States, people spend way more money than they ever save. So, again, they are buying. What are they buying? Who are they buying from? And the big, giant question is, as Jeffrey coins it, why do they buy? Why? Why are people buying? That's what you want to know. If you're going to ever make your sales grow, if you're going to make it grow faster and keep your sales and keep your customers longer and keep your sales trend going longer, you want to know the big secret is, why do people buy? Now, once you find that, now you have something to work with. Not, let me try to learn how to sell better, because people don't like to be sold. So some of us, if you're like me, we've wasted a lot of time trying to sell. No. Let's spend more time figuring out what makes a person buy, okay? Great. Now, back to, and I know there's going to be some comments coming later from the chat room, and I know Mr. Paul's going to have a comment or two on this topic, as he usually does. So, Paul, I got to switch back and forth to the switchboard to make sure I notice when you raise your hand for a comment. So if you have any kind of product or service, even if you work for a company, you might work for a company where you're responsible for selling. And if you really want to rock the world of your manager, your sales leader, now they're going to send you to all this great training to teach you how to sell. But if you don't know what makes the customers buy, it won't do you much good. You'll still have the phone not ringing, your proposals not being answered, people that are rejecting your prices. And this is some of the things that I've watched my husband do firsthand in sales, and he's been very successful over the years. Now, so what do we do? What do you need to do? Okay, well, according to Mr. Jeffrey, I'm using some of his theories and teachings, he says that understanding the reason that people buy is the answer that every salesperson needs. every salesperson, and if you have a business, if you're an entrepreneur of any kind, whether you sell Avon, you might sell Mary Kay, you may sell phone services, you may sell banking services, whatever, you may sell hair care products, it doesn't matter. Whatever you may sell real estate, whatever you're selling, you're still selling, whatever business that you're in. Now, customers love to buy, but they don't like to be sold. And some companies, I was even with one company, and they would tell us, well, you really don't have to sell anything. Well, hello, how am I going to get the products into the person's hands? I'm not going to give them away. So we don't want to kind of have that notion, but we do want to understand what makes people buy. Now, Jeffrey says that he gives these 12.5, he calls it 12.5 reasons people buy, and that's what I want to share with you today in terms of the secret to selling. He gives you these 12 reasons that people want to buy. And think about it. Think about the things that you bought and think about why you bought it. Now, after I give you these, what I want you to do is write them down. If you have any kind of business, any kind of product, whether you're selling your speaking, your training, your books, your dry cleaning, your daycare center, whatever it is you're selling, incorporate these in your daily activities. That's the only way it's going to work. You have to apply them. Now, the first thing he says, this is the reasons that people buy, is because, number one, they understand what they're buying. You know how that is. You want it to be made clear to you what this product can do and why I should purchase it. So I need to understand. Think of the buyer. Okay? The first thing, this is number one. Sorry, let me back that up. The first thing is, this is the reason I'm buying. I like my sales rep. When you are likable, you have a much better chance of that person buying from you. Okay? So that's number one. I like my sales rep. You know how it is. You go to your favorite store and you look for your favorite salesperson, or you go to your favorite business. You deal with people we like. So keep that in mind when you're approaching someone to introduce your products or services to. Be likable. Be likable. The second thing is, I need to understand what I'm buying, so the person needs to be able to make it clear. Be clear in your speech. Be clear in your thinking. Be clear in what you're presenting. Be clear. Just make it clear so the person can understand. Number three, I perceive that there's a difference in the person and the company that I'm buying from. If I'm going to purchase from, let's just say, you know, Best Buy versus Fifth Avenue, let's just say I'm purchasing appliances or, you know, things that technical kind of things that you're using for your, you know, for your home. I'm going to go to electronics, I meant to say. You're buying electronics. Why would I go to Best Buy versus Fifth Avenue? They have basically the same product. But I perceive, okay, that there's a difference in that person and the company that I'm buying from. So I think their customer service is better. I think that their sales reps are better or whatever. I think it's better than the other place, okay? So, in other words, that's teaching us that we have to differentiate ourselves in such a way that we attract people that are going to be attracted to our style. Number four, I perceive that there's a value in the product that I'm purchasing. What's the value? The value is how this is going to somehow enhance or change or better my life. Okay, so it's going to enhance, change, make better my life. Therefore, it has value because it's making me better. It's changing my life. That was number four. Number five, I believe my sales rep. I believe that this product is going to do everything you told me it was going to do when I get home or when I get back to my workstation. I believe in you. So we got to deal with a person's belief system. You got to be believable. And all that simply means is that when we give our word, we have to make our word true. We have to be believable. If I sit here and tell you that, you know, I know sales secrets, well, how can I make that believable? So what did I do? I spent the first few minutes of my talk giving you my credentials and what I know about sales. I told you about my husband and his experience, how long I've been with him. I told you about the jobs that I've had in sales. I told you even about the education that I've gotten in sales. So you have to be believable so the person can believe you. Number six, I have to have confidence. These are the reasons people buy, because we said people don't like to be sold, but everybody is out spending money. Everybody's buying, even in a recession. People are still going to work, can't wait to payday or whatever, so they can go and buy. Mr. Hershey Walker, he knows. He's out there. He's selling his books. He's selling his himself as a speaker to take that money and not to put it under a rock. No, we're going to use that money. We're going to pay our mortgages, buy new cars, new clothes. And sometimes some of these things we absolutely have to have. You have to have clothes. You have to, you know, we have to get our hair done. We have to eat. Most of the things we buy, we have to buy. But who we buy from is going to set us apart. So I have to trust my sales rep. I have to have confidence in that person. How can a sales rep, how can you instill confidence in the person that you're trying to pick up as a customer or the customer that you're trying to keep? You want the person to feel confident that your product has the quality, that it's going to last, that it's going to do what it says it's going to do. I have to trust my sales rep. I have to be where I'm supposed to be. When I said I'm going to be there, I have to deliver. My husband used to tell me that all the time. I used to question my husband about his sales ability because he's always sold and almost straight commission. You know, a little bit of salary, but mostly commission. And this is how we've paid our mortgage. This is how we've paid for two or three cars. This is how we take, you know, 2 or 3 weeks worth of vacation every year. Is basically through his sales. And so I'm always asking him, how do you do it? This is how he's able to go play golf on a regular basis. This is how he's able to go and, you know, do a lot of the things that he does. And I'm like, how do you do it? What's your secret? I ask him all the time. And he says basically is that you have to deliver the product that you promised to that customer. And once you do that, they trust you. And once they can trust you, they'll come back. And I've seen my husband, you know, get on a plane. That's how I got introduced to working at Continental Airlines, even before I started working there. I used to have to take my husband to the airport so he can get on a flight, Continental Airlines, fly to Canada, fly upstate, up the East Coast to Rhode Island and various places, sometimes just to take a customer out to dinner, to lunch. Go play golf with them. Why? So that they could learn to trust him. You build trust in people by relationship. You trust people that you're in relationship with. It's just like in a marriage. The more you and your, you know, your mate, your spouse, interact and communicate, the more they trust you. The more you allow them to look into your world, the more they will trust you. Your relationships where there's a lot of secrecy. There's no trust. There's not a lot of trust there. So think about that with your customers. You got to spend a little time with them. Okay, the next one is you're comfortable with your salesperson. Again, I talk to my sister. I'm on the phone with her when her customers come in. And, you know, she's comfortable. Hey, how you doing, Jack? What's going on, Marty? You know, what's going on, Sarah? How's it going? Oh, how was work? How was that vacation? You're comfortable with them, and they're comfortable with her. They'll ask her, oh, how's business today? How's this going? Blah, blah, blah. Not blah, 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 but, you know, real conversation. Okay? Because people are comfortable. You got to be comfortable with your salesperson. Hey, what did you guys do yesterday evening? Where did you go over the weekend? What kind of weekend did you have? Very comfortable with that person. People are going to want to come back. They want to do business with you. Okay, let me get over here. Okay, great. Now, there's a question. All right. Okay, welcome, Mr. Walker. I know your area code by now. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
You know what, doing well. I had no question. I just want to say, you know what, you're spot on. Everything that you're saying, you know, I talk about, I demonstrate, I've had to get involved with or overcome in my initial sales tactics or approaches early on. I know for 10 years I was reluctant to become a salesperson or to do sales, and had to realize that it's a mindset, it's a behavior, and everything you're talking about building trust, the fact that people don't like to be sold, but they sure like to buy. How do we, you know, shift that paradigm, and how someone like your husband and myself can find success where everyone else is finding failure? And it's all in how you approach the business. And I know so often I've had people that I didn't even want to sell something to, but they just wanted to buy. And it's like, you know, I'm not trying to sell you. Yeah, but I want to buy the item. You know, just give it to me. You know, tell me more about it. And it clicked for me. My aha moment is that, you know what, when I took and removed myself out of the equation, when I stopped with my biases and my judgment and my apprehension and really dove into experiencing the customer and realizing, as you said, why people buy. There are need-based purchases where your refrigerator goes out today. You need a new refrigerator. You're running to Sears to get one. Then there's the impulse buy where you're just standing at the counter and you look over and there's a Snicker bar. Well, you came in for a newspaper. You had no idea you were going to buy a Snicker bar. And then there's the suggestive selling where you are in line with the newspaper and you see that the person has a Wall Street Journal and you say, you know what, there's a new book out, you know. That book is in line with, you know, the financial industry. You may want to take a look at that. And through suggestive selling, people then are prompted to buy. But no one wants to ram down their throat. No one wants to be oversold or approached. They want to know that, one, you're confident, as you said. Two, you know not only the item, but you may know them. You know their style. When you see they come in wearing a certain outfit or driving a certain car, or eating a certain food, why would you suggest that they're eating lobster that you suggest on the menu, you know, that they have maybe an appetizer for a hamburger? You're not really in tune with that customer. You're not really looking at the customer. You're just trying to pitch a product or make a sale, and people will always resent you for that. So you're doing a great job.
Well, you know what? You are so right. You're right. And the thing is, we really wanted to help other people, because for me it was a huge, major, you know, hurdle that I had to cross as a person who has a product and or a service to sell for the purposes, you know, of running your business or operating in your business or even in a job. You know, very reluctant to take those jobs where we have to sell, because a lot of companies, unfortunately, they do teach you all the great sales tricks and tips and tactics. However, they forgot to teach us what Jeffrey Gittemiller teaches in his book, The Little Red Book of Selling, because he really, really has delved into the motivation and the mindset of the buyer. And most of us realize it because we know for ourselves. We don't like to be sold, but we'd love to buy. I mean, everything I do, basically, again, you even hear people saying that the money, right? You hear people say, thank you, Mr. Walker. I'm going to continue with the show, but continue with this, these points, rather. And thank you so much for calling in. And awesome, awesome. But here's the thing. Most of us, we, you know, we're not going to take the money with us. So, I mean, you got to invest it in something. Whether it be stocks and bonds, that's a purchase. It's a purchase. We call it investment. But you're still spending. If you purchase the money in education, again, what would make you, let's just say you live in the state of New Jersey, what would make you purchase an education from Rutgers University versus Montclair State? Okay? It's the same thing. Do you know that colleges and universities, such as those I just named and all of them, do you realize they have a huge marketing department? I didn't realize that until I started working at the college and I began to look at the various departments within the university, within the college. I lived at Essex County College for several years where I still teach there part-time, but I was a full-time staff there. And I noticed they had a very huge marketing department, because sometimes when we think of school and college, we think, okay, that's something people need, and so they're just going to automatically go. No, the colleges have to go out. And also they're in competition to other schools who also provide the same thing they do, the same type of degree with a very, very similar curriculum and format. So they, too, have to sell. And so what I'm saying is, whether you are a beautician, you may be a barber, you may be an entertainer, you may be a musician, whatever you have, you need to know this, because more than likely, if your sales are down, if you're making those things that I read before, those four things, you got a lot of price objections, you send out a lot of bids and proposals, you send them out, but you're not getting a lot of responses back. People claim to be very satisfied with their present supplier. You're not getting those return phone calls. And if you're often complaining that it's because the economy is slow, okay, those are the ways that you know that, you know what, maybe I need to do it a different way. I'm not going to keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. And if you're in business, whether you have an accounting firm, whether you do taxes, you may be a lawyer, you may be you have a small medical practice, whatever it is, you need to know these. This is something that every entrepreneur needs to know. So, again, I say, you know, take this information, apply it to your daily activities. Don't interrupt everything you're doing, but certainly apply it to what you're already doing. So you definitely want to write these down. If you're in a position right now where you cannot write, maybe you're driving, maybe you're getting the kids ready for school. I know it's, you know, early in the morning, and you could actually be working. Like I know, our one listener is always working during this time. You can write it down, but this is going to be one show you want to go back to the archives, and you want to listen, and you want to write these points down. Okay, so you want to, number one, that's the first thing, you got to like your salesperson. So you got to be likable. Again, I'm reading these from the voice of the buyer, and you know how it is with you. And now you have to turn it around and make sure you're doing these things. So you want to like your sales rep. You want to understand what it is that you're buying. Don't try to sell me something, and I don't even know what it does. You see? So many people do that. That's like me with my book. If I'm trying to sell you my book, Release Your Power, I need to tell you what that book will do for you. Okay? Why would you buy it? You're not going to buy it simply because. Now, you could just buy it. Okay, like Mr. Paul. He's so nice. And he bought the book because I said, Mr. Paul, if you buy the book, you will help me to reach the international market. And now, he also has been listening to the show, so obviously there's some trust there in those kinds of things. Okay, so he purchased the book. But I have to make clear to people and make them understand what it is that I'm selling and why, okay? Have to make people understand that you have to let them know that there's a value. Same thing, if I perceive that there's value in driving a BMW versus the value that I might perceive in driving a Ford Escort. Because what's the difference? I mean, both cars get you from point A to Z. But it's your perceived value, okay? Now, also, the trust, the confidence. Now, here's another one, number 9. Okay, the last one I left off with was number 8, being comfortable with your salesperson. Can you make the person feel comfortable? And I talked about Hope Harbor and her dry cleaners there in Cincinnati and how she makes the customers feel comfortable. Here's the next one. How do I feel? You know, I feel that there's a fit for what I need and what this product or service can provide. So now we've got to kind of get into the person's feeling. They feel there's a fit for what I need and what this person is selling. Okay? So, again, being clear, making sure the person understands. Yes, apologies. Your college has become big business. So, yes, they have a big marketing department. Awesome. Do you work in a college as well? or university, but thanks for that comment. Yes, that's apologies in the chat room talking. Since college has become big business, and they have to compete. You see, everybody has to compete today. Can you even believe that prisons have websites? Hello? A prison with a website and commercials. Okay, now that's pretty sad. But even they have to compete. In other words, when the police lock people up, the U.S. Department, okay, no, apologies, says no. Are you in sales? Apologies. Do you sell a product or service? That's my next question to apologies. Now, here's the thing. Okay, the police officer that arrests the person. Okay, athletic recruiting agency. Awesome. Okay, there you go. So there's a service right there. That's the business that they're in. But a prison, they have to, the police, when they arrest people, they can almost, you know, outside of the local jails and the county jails, when a person commits a particular kind of crime, well, will we send them to that prison over there or this prison over here? People get their prisons in a niche and say, okay, this is the prison for people that have committed this particular kind of crime. I'm telling you, everybody now has to be the best, as I say, bring your A game. Okay, my topic, some of you know that's my topic on November 13th, from shame to your A game. And let me tell you, that topic is working. I released it last night in the classroom with my students, and it's about 23 of them. Who was in attendance last night. These are my business students. And I talked to them about their A game. And let me tell you, I had them on fire by the end of the class because I said to them, how dare you come to class without your A game? How dare you come to any class, not just my class? How dare you come to college without your A game? I said, so what do you have, your B game, your C game? And I kind of had them laughing about it. But that's the reality of it. Anyway, back to the point. So, number nine, how do I feel that there's a fit? Don't try to sell me, okay, let's say, now, you can look and tell that I don't work out, that I do not exercise. Just to say on general, don't try to sell me exercise equipment or don't try to sell me your health care program. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. In other words, Mary Kay was good for this. Mary Kay, that's how they got so big, because Mary Kay, they're very successful. So I used to talk to one of their sales reps when I was in retail. I used to meet a lot of sales reps, independent sales rep or direct marketing salespeople. They come to the retail stores because we're open all day and they work for themselves, and so they come there to meet people, right? And she wouldn't even talk to a person, basically, that didn't wear makeup. Why would you stop someone? You have a 99% of your company is makeup, and you're going to stop a woman who has all natural skin. I'm sorry. It's not a fit, okay? Now, they had no problem stopping me because I wear makeup, so no big deal. Stop me anytime you want, and you'll probably get a sale if you could do these other things. If I like you, if I understand what it is I'm buying, if I perceive that Mary Kay is better than Fashion Fair or you know, whatever else I might want to use, okay? That was a big hint right there for people. Okay, that's like Hope in the dry cleaning business. She's not going to spend time trying to convince a person who shops in the wash and wear department that they need to bring their clothes to her dry cleaners. It just wouldn't add up. In other words, a person whose lifestyle is that mostly what they wear are clothes that can go into the washer and dryer at home or in the local laundromat. She's not going to spend time trying to convince them that they need to come to custom care. No, she's going to first and foremost go after the persons that are wearing suits. Because suits, you cannot put that in your washer and dryer. Why? If you do, first of all, it's ruined and you've just thrown away your money. That's number one. So, like, if you like to waste money, well, you may as well give your money to anybody. So that's number one. You're wasting your money. Number two, even if you had an outfit that you potentially could wash it a little bit, but here's what I know about wash clothes. They look frumpy afterwards. In other words, I don't know what the definition of the word frumpy, but like crumpy, slumpy, they don't look that great after you put them in the washer. So that's another. So you're going to go after people who wear clothes that are crisp, that look, she's going to approach people and give them her card or invite them to a scenario or tell them about her business. People who are in clothes that look like the clothes just came out of the dry cleaners, okay? Now, that's not to say that you may have that one particular day where you're in jeans and an old T-shirt, but you may on every other day wear clothes that need to be dry cleaned. I'm not talking about that, obviously. But I'm talking about people that you see on a regular basis in your community, in the town, in the places that you go. All right. Number 10, we just have a couple of more. Number 10, the price seems fair. People, you don't have to be the lowest price. Look at the Mercedes. The Mercedes-Benz is certainly not the lowest price, right? The BMW, it's not the lowest price car out there on the market. The American Airlines ticket is priced, not the lowest ticket price. But the price has to be fair for what the person is getting. Now, if you're going to have a high price, you've got to load them down with value and benefits and the reasons they're buying this product. And that was one of the things I learned from my husband early on, 15 years ago, when I first started asking him about how he does it, what's the secret to sales. He said, you've got to know your benefits, and you've got to be able to speak to your features and your benefits. He used to tell me all the time, it's features and benefits, it's features and benefits. You've got to let people know, and that's that understanding part. That's that part that's like number two, that you understand the product, that the person can perceive that what they're buying is good and the product that they're purchasing has value. You've got to know what the features are. What can it do? If you could sell me something and tell me, 20 different things that this product can do, okay? Or if you can sell me this product, tell me all the benefits. Well, if you buy the Mercedes, it'll literally drive for you. You'll feel so relaxed and comfortable. All your friends will, think that you're the great, whatever the values and benefits and features of the car. The windows are, they are automatic. The windows will never freeze up on you. The sound system is, top of the line. Give me all the benefits and the features. The car seat will, contour to your body on its own without your help, that kind of thing. You've got to know the features and the benefits of your products and your service so that you can, the more benefits and features you can give the person, the greater your chances are winning and keeping that customer. And that was one of the things that I definitely learned from my husband. Another thing, too, that he shared with me, just a little secret, but that would go to the person liking you from the start. He used to say that you've got to remember people's names. You've got to remember their names. He said people love their names. And so whenever he would talk to customers, that was one thing he would do. Now, back to Mr. Jeffrey Gittimer's secrets to success, to selling. Now, he also says that though people do not want to be sold, they love to buy. Also, he says that the person has to perceive that the product or service is going to increase their productivity. So, if I have a car and I need this car to help me get to and from work or get my children around town or whatever, if you can tell me how this particular car is going to help me be more productive, you may tell me that it gets a better gas mileage. You may tell me that it'll never break down on me. You may tell me that. So somehow your product has to make my life more productive. Okay? If you can do that, you will definitely be a leg up on getting more customers. Okay? Like with cell phones, when they came out with the BlackBerry, oh my goodness, they were able to convince everybody almost that with this BlackBerry, you're going to be able to reach more customers. You're going to be able to keep up with your emails. As a leader, as a CEO, you'll be able to, manage and, control and lead your companies better by having a BlackBerry. They did a great job. I mean, they sold, I don't know how many of those things they sold, but we know that the cell phone industry is just billions of dollars. So if you can convince the person that they're going to have this increase, also, because I know we're running out of time because I have to get out of here, that was number 11. Number 12, they have to perceive that the product or service is going to increase your profits. So somehow what you're selling me is going to make me more money. Isn't that funny? Okay, if I sell you, I make more money, but I got to convince you first that you're going to make more money. It's a win. We call that a win-win situation. Did you get that? They have to perceive that the product or service is somehow going to make them more money. So in other words, with my book or with Mr. Walker's book, you're selling that book to a person. Like for me, I'm telling people that with my book, you'll be more productive at work, which will get you a promotion, which will get you a higher salary. You see, now that's more money in their pocket, okay? They'll be more apt to buy the book than if I just say, oh, it's a great book. It'll change your life. No. Tell them how. You're going to change your attitude. You're going to have a better working life. You're going to get a raise or a promotion, and then you're going to have more money. Or if the person is single, and you're going to have a better attitude, you're going to attract more people to date and a better selection of people, and then, like that. What's the profit for them, okay? Same thing they do with these weight loss programs. They tell you how, because of eating this or using this particular diet, you're going to lose this amount of weight, and losing this amount of weight will add these many years to your life or add this kind of happiness to your life or something of that nature. And then for 12.5, because he calls these his 12.5 principles of sales greatness, is that as a buyer, I must perceive that the salesperson is truly trying to help me build my business. Before he's going to earn my business, he has to prove to me that he's trying to help me. And so many salespeople go about it the opposite way. They're just into it for, just selling. They're only thinking about how it's going to impact their commission bottom line. And when you have that mindset, you're going to come across like that. You have to make sure the person knows that you're trying to help them. So in other words, I'll use my sister because she doesn't mind. In her business, she's going to make this person understand that by getting your suit pressed here, by you going to work looking great, you are going to be a better salesperson if they're a student sales. If they're an administrator at their company, you're going to be able to go in that meeting and look sharper, and you're going to appear smarter. You're going to appear more knowledgeable about what you're doing, and it could possibly lead to a promotion, okay? So that's what I wanted to share with you today. Like I said, we have to end a little bit early because I have a very, very important and powerful meeting down in Paterson, New Jersey, which is a little bit of a drive from here, and then I have to make another stop. So I wanted to let you know that you all are great. You're wonderful. Again, I thank you, Mr. Walker, for calling in. Thank you for confirming this topic this morning. Thank you for in the chat room. Thank you for your comments. Welcome also to P-Dufa. Thank you for tuning into the show, Kiva and others. Tomorrow, Friday, is Business Shout-Out Friday. Oh, I will be safe. Thank you so much, Paul. Be back here tomorrow, same time. Tomorrow is Friday. Shout out your business. If you know anybody with a business, have them to call in for the show. We'll be here with you for the full hour tomorrow. Everybody, have a great, wonderful, and powerful day. And remember, there ain't no stopping you now.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach LaLisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lil Lisa J. Williams.